Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, the first chapter and verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. If you can, I'd like to ask you to stand up as I read from God's Word. Today I'm preaching on I'm Not Ashamed. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, your word is very powerful. Your word is life-changing. And God, today we pray that, Lord, we will never be ashamed. And Father, let us boldly proclaim who you are. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. And we worship and praise you in all areas of our lives, dear God. And again, Father, speak through me on this message. Let nothing come from my flesh or my own words or thoughts. And we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. There was one day this gentleman was out driving around, and as he went past the car lot, the newest model of car was sitting out there up on one of them ramps so that it would be noticed by everybody who drove by. And it caught his eye in such a way that he pulled his old car in there, and he got out and started looking at it, admiring its beauty. And the salesman walked out, and the gentleman says, "Sir, I'd like to take that car for a test drive." So he went and got him a key, put a plate on it. That guy went for a little bit of a drive and come back, and he says, "You know what? If the price is right, I want to buy that car." Well, they end up making a deal. And that man loved that car so much, he took it home. It had already been washed and polished, but he parked it in his driveway. And every day that man would go outside and back that car out in the driveway. He would wash it and he would polish it. He would show it off to the neighbors by driving up and down the streets. He would take it to church and tell everybody, "Hey, look at my new car." He was so proud of what he had, basically he wasn't ashamed of it. He really enjoyed this treasured thing that he had. But you know, even greater in our life, we have been given a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that you and I could ever receive in our life. I can remember many times in life, different gifts that I had been given, and I was proud to have them. I was happy. But the moment that I got saved, I remember the night that I bowed upon my knees in that little prayer chapel with a few friends at each side. And actually, there was a big cross on that wall, and it had lights behind it. But I remember bowing down there, and that night I made a deal. Well, I shouldn't say I made a deal. That's a bad thing to say. I'm sorry, Lord. What I did was I gave up my life. I saw something that I needed. And it's something that money couldn't buy. But you know, when I received it, do you know what I did every day with it? And still to this day, I cherish it. I bring it to church with me. And when I'm out, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at the grocery store, I show it off to everybody. And people go, "Well, what is that you have?" And I said, "It's Jesus. I want you to see what He's done in my life. I want people to know how He took me from a dirty, wretched sinner. How He took a backward kid who was not very social at all, and how He turned him completely around and made his life something beautiful." When I surrendered to the ministry. I ran from it for a couple of years, and I thought, I don't want to preach. I don't want to go tell. What are people going to think about me? You know, what are my friends, what are my old friends going to say when they hear that I'm preaching in the churches around this area? So I had a little bit of shame going on there. And then when I read this verse that Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." I thought, at all cost, I've got to surrender. There's nothing that I could lose by surrendering to Christ, by doing His will. And I remember when I surrendered that night, within the next very hour, 2 hours, Reverend David Hancock called me and said, "Hey, Jim, I need you to come and preach tomorrow at my church." He said, "I've been very sick," and his voice sounded terrible and hoarse. And he said, "Could you come preach?" Boy, I said, "Yes, sir, I'll be there." So see, I knew. And I preached a message that morning. I still remember that message. I preached a message on faith. Having faith in God, that God will take care of your life. It doesn't matter who you are, what you're going through, where you live or anything. God cares for you and He loves you unconditionally. And what I want you to do this morning is grasp that. Take it into your heart. And I want you to know that when you came to Christ and accepted Him as Savior and Lord, I often wonder if God is in heaven and He's saying, "Hey, look at this. Look who came to know Jesus today. And He announced your name before all of heaven," because God is not ashamed of us. God loves His children. This past week, a good friend of mine, I won't mention his name because I don't know if he'd want me to put it out, because I know the sermons go out online. But anyway, he's a 64-year-old man, and he's like me. He goes out and runs a lot for his exercise. He said he got out on the bike path the other day. He was running from Harrisburg to El Dorado, and he said that he got up the pathway, and there were some boys walking together, four boys. And he said he stopped immediately, and he started to witness to these four boys. And he started telling them who Jesus was. And as he talked, he said eventually all four of those young boys accepted Jesus Christ on that bike path this last week. And I said, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah." Four more names were added to the Lamb's Book of Life. Because Eddie, well, I just say Eddie. I let it slip, so I'm sorry, Eddie, if you don't. But Eddie went, and he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And do you know that everywhere I go, I have people ask me, "Are you a Christian?" And I say, "Yes, I am," because Christ is alive inside of me. There were in the Bible some recorded testimonies from people like David, Zerubbabel, Joshua, Paul, and Peter, who all said, "Thou art the Christ." When we say to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ," what we are saying is, "You are the only Son of God. You are the begotten Holy Son of God, sent to die on a cross, and You were raised from the dead on the third day." And we are recognizing Him as Savior and Lord of our life. And do you know what? When we start telling people who Jesus is to us and what He's done, and every single one of us have a different testimony about where we were in our life, but when we share with people, we are saying proudly and boldly, "I love the Lord and I'm going to proclaim it." There's a song I used to love to sing as a kid, and it's in the Baptist hymnal too. but it's I can't remember the name of it right now. But anyway, one verse in there says, I want to shout it from the mountaintops, praise God, because I want the world to know who Jesus is. Are we out there telling people about Jesus today? Are we going to go tell someone about the Lord? I hope we are, because you know we've come to a point in life where we don't see revival happening as much, or we don't have the visitation groups. When I was a kid going to church, I wasn't even saved. But you know what? I was so drawn in. There were adults who were inviting me when I was in high school to go on these Wednesday or Thursday night visitations. And there were 5 to 6 names given, and 2 to 3 people would go out in a group, and we'd knock on doors and go minister and visit the people. And people who didn't know Jesus Christ would ask all kinds of questions. And I want to tell you how much I learned. So I know that God put me there for a reason and a purpose. And I learned so much about who Jesus was that finally when I came to that time in my life, you know, I wanted to leave the church service that night and go drink with my buddies. I was on my way to a party. And when one sat underneath the tire of my car, put his legs under there and said, well, you can leave. But if you do, you're going to run over my legs. He said, you know why I'm sacrificing? Because I care about you and I love you. Because Jesus made a sacrifice on the cross. He said, I love you in the same way and I will sacrifice my life for you because I want you to get saved, brother. And I started crying. And there I sat in my car. One reached in and turned my car off. And we went right straight to the prayer chapel. And I remember walking in there and just releasing everything before Christ. And the very next day, when I went out, I came up and met some of my old friends. And I said, you know what happened to me last night? No. I said, I got saved last night. And they were like, saved? What, saved from what? Was you in an accident? I said, no. I said, let me tell you what I'm talking about. And I started to share Jesus. And it really hurt me because they turned their backs on me and they walked away. And as they walked away, these guys that I had known for such a long time were now turning their backs on me. And I felt a little bit out of place. And then I started questioning myself. Thinking, did I do the right thing last night? My friends are turning their backs on me now. And then I started to realize, if I gained the whole world and I lost Jesus, then I had nothing. But I had found everything that I would ever need in Jesus. When I found Jesus, I found the true love of my life. Now, my wife is my greatest love. She is she's my wonderful love. And I thank God for her. But Jesus is my number one and my very first and true love. My relationship with Him is important to me. Yes, I fail. Yes, I do wrong. But every day when I come back to Christ, and I have my prayer time and I say, Father, forgive me in Jesus' name. Because by that shed blood, I have been redeemed. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. I chose to believe, and because He died for me, I want to tell the world about Him. Now, fast forward a few months later. I got invited one night to go street witnessing. And as I was uptown with a bunch of guys and girls, we were witnessing to people our age. And one of the worst things ever come out of my mouth that night, I saw a group of my old friends. And I walk over to them, hey, how you guys doing? And they going, yeah, there's that guy right there. Boy, he's a Jesus freak. He got saved. You know, all these words going out. You know what I said? Nah, I'm not with them tonight. I said, I just kind of out hanging out. And my heart sank inside of me. It felt like the joy just drained out of my life. And I remember when I got home that night, I started thinking of Peter in the Bible. Peter, who had said to Jesus, I will never deny you. I am committed to you. I would never turn my back on you, Lord. But when they came and arrested Jesus, and they had put him on trial, Peter is standing amongst the crowd, and people were pointing their fingers at Peter and saying, well, wait a minute, this guy here, he's one of the disciples. He walked with Jesus. He knows Jesus. And Peter said, no, I don't know him. And Jesus told him, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows. And Peter says, no, Lord, I won't. And then a second time, Peter denies him. A third time, Peter denies him. And then the Bible says that Peter wept bitterly and he left. He left the place where he was. I could just imagine the heaviness that Peter felt that night. But do you know what? I also know that when Peter denied Jesus, Jesus looked at him with those eyes and Jesus still said, I love you. That's why I'm not ashamed. You know, when I go out, I'm glad to tell people that I'm a Christian. People have asked me, yesterday we had a funeral and at the graveside somebody walked up to me and asked me, they said, are you still preaching at that one little church over here? I said, no. I said, I've been preaching at Boskydale Baptist Church for a while now. I said, well, why don't you come over and visit sometime? I said, but for quite some time, I've been traveling around and preaching. And I talked to some other people. And you know what? And as we talked, they said, what have you been up to? I said, I've been preaching the gospel. I still preach it 34 years, preaching God's word. But I let it ring out because I want people to know. And I don't care if people call me a Jesus freak. I don't care if people label me with some kind of name. Because I know that the one who died on the cross and rose again from the dead, who shed his blood for my sins, has accepted me into his royal family. I'm not adopted, I'm blood bought. I hear too many people say, well, I'm adopted. Well, I'm not. I'm blood bought. I am a royal child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He blesses my life with so much love and adoration and affection that even when I sin, He forgives me of my sins and He remembers my sins no more. The Bible says He casts them as far as the east is to the west and remembers them no more. You also want to know why I'm not ashamed of the gospel? I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of the power that it holds. How God ministers to my life. But also the one thing that really sticks out in my mind is that Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. Now let me tell you something. When you die and you stand before God, well, when you were still in your body, you still had a chance. And for people who don't receive Christ, today is the day of salvation. If people choose to wait and they don't receive Christ and they don't get that eternal life, they have punished their own self. They have bought their own one-way ticket straight to hell. And that's the truth. And you know what I'll preach? I'll preach the truth. I'm not ashamed to preach it. But what I know is that what Christ has given me in my life, I will shout it from the mountaintops. I will preach it from the pulpit. I will stand on the street corner and even standing in a Walmart store. I had two people, a married couple, come over to me and they said, we don't know what's going on in our life. We feel like God has abandoned us. And one said, I'm trying to go to school. The other one says, I don't have a job. And we got kids to raise. And I said, do you believe that God is good? Yeah. Do you believe that God can meet all your needs? Yes. Then let's pray right here. You want to pray? Let's do it right now, right here in Walmart, in front of everybody. Because I'm not ashamed to pray with people. And we held hands in the store and we prayed. And I said, God, I pray that you open up blessings for this couple. And I did pray this prayer from my heart. And months later, I saw two of the greatest praise reports. Number one, that young lady had been trying to get into RN school to become a nurse, and she got into RN school. They had an opening for her. And her husband, who had been looking for a job, applied for a job at a restaurant, a fast food chain restaurant. They did not hire him as an employee. They hired him as a manager. God's favor. Because we were not ashamed. See, when you know Jesus, you shouldn't be ashamed. I wouldn't be afraid to go into a group of Hell's Angels motorcycle people and preach the gospel. I wouldn't be ashamed. They could throw rocks at me. They could kill me, whatever. It doesn't matter. Because what I preach is the truth. I preach His love. I preach His crucifixion. I preach His burial and His resurrection. And I preach the good things that my God does in my life. We should never be ashamed of Jesus. In the Bible, 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified. Why do we preach Christ crucified? Because it was the greatest thing ever done for mankind. Jesus, if He had not died, you and I would all be condemned to hell for eternity. So we preach Him crucified because it was a sacrifice. It was an atonement of the precious blood that flowed down Calvary's cross. Not only did that blood cleanse us of our sins, but that blood brings us healing. That blood has power. That blood has deliverance. That sacrifice can take a wretched heart, a stony heart, and turn it into a heart of love. It can make you a compassionate person. It can make you a loving and devoted person. But oftentimes we fail to recognize His name. Oftentimes we reject Him. Lord, never let me ever reject you ever again, Lord. You know what we ought to be ashamed of? We should be ashamed of what our past life was like, who we hung around, how we acted, how we spoke, the things we watched on TV, the certain jokes we told on the job site between friends. Those are things we should be ashamed of. And when we became Christians, that past life, that old man died and passed away. The Bible says, the old things have passed away, behold, everything becomes new. You are a new creature in Christ. So what you ought to be ashamed of is what you did before. And you should make it a mark in your life to never go back. I told you last week about Donnie Colson. When he got saved, and he said when he was walking out of that church, he saw his old self sitting on the pew saying, take me back. And he said his old self was, he was a drunk and he was a mean person. They called him Snake. He didn't like nobody. And now this man will be out driving down the road. He's had people flag him over and said, "Brother Donnie, you're supposed to pray for us." And he loves the Lord so much that when he's prayed with people, things have happened right there on the spot. That's why we should never be ashamed of his name. I remember after that time on the parking lot that night, how I felt. Boy, that was the worst feeling, Laura. You know, it was really the worst feeling I'd ever felt. And I didn't sleep that night. I cried because I said, I just pulled a Peter. I denied him. And it hurt. And you know what I thought? I automatically thought that God put this big gap between us. That's what I thought. I thought God put this gap out there. And then I started wondering, well, what was it like when Peter went away and wept bitterly? What happened after? Well, I don't know what Peter did afterward, but you know what I do know? I do know that Jesus forgave him. And he restored his relationship with him. Peter was reconciled. Peter was made whole. His sins were forgiven. Because as Jesus hung on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then when Jesus said, "It is finished," he gave up the spirit and he died. 3 days later, he came out of the tomb. He arose. He awoke victorious. The glorified Son of God. The stone was rolled away. And he made his appearance in all of his radiant glory. I want you to just picture that in your mind for just a moment. I don't want you to think about nothing else right now. Just wipe your mind clear of every thought. And I want you to focus on Jesus coming out of that tomb. And what I want you to experience, if you want to close your eyes, go ahead and do that. It's fine. But I want you just to think about that stone rolled back and the white, his clothes were like lightning, his appearance whiter than snow. And I want you to imagine that. That is God's power. God raised his Son Jesus from the dead. We should also never be ashamed of the power of the gospel. Do you know right now we live in an age of power? We live in an age of power. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead, it's alive inside you and I. It's in God's Word. I want you to know something. When God spoke everything into creation, it happened because it was a spoken word. When we speak by the power and the authority of this word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, when we speak, things happen. And you've got to believe that. You know, the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can either speak life or you can speak death. I choose to speak life. You know, when I go to the hospital, I understand that there's people that are sick and only God knows an outcome. But you know what I have to do? I have to go in there with a heart knowing that God is who He says He is. And that I can take this word and I can speak that word to the person laying in that hospital bed and I can pray for them and I can believe in my heart that they will be healed and recovered. Now, like I said, God's the last authority on that. I've known people who have passed away in the hospital who were Christians, and then people says, "Well, we were praying for them to be healed." Why did they die? I said, they're not dead. They're alive. They are in heaven. That's what we ought to celebrate. Yesterday at the graveside service, Pastor Ivan Ryan, a good friend of mine who I served on the chaplains with at Marion Hospital for 21 years, spoke one of the best messages I'd ever heard. Dolly Blankenship had passed away, and Dolly Blankenship was a Christian. I'm telling you, that woman was beautiful to the core. 92 years old, looked like she was 64 or so. Looked like she was in her early 60s. She didn't look 92, but she had joy in life. And she passed away, and everything that Brother Ivan shared about her life was spot on. And when they played the music, I stood there and I watched people. It was all her family there. Everybody was singing to the music. They were all rejoicing. They weren't saddened to the fact that she had given up the old house she lived in. They were rejoicing to the fact that she was in heaven. She was in the presence of Jesus. Yes, when our loved ones are gone, yeah, there's a void, there's a hurt, there's grief, and there's sorrow. But you know what? The power of the gospel, when we take that gospel into us and when we spend time with it, oh, I'm telling you what, folks, it fills that void. You know, I miss my dad a lot. Boy, I do. My dad wasn't the best growing up to us kids. But a few months before he died, I used to be ashamed of my dad. I was ashamed of my own father because of how he was. But I remember 2 months before, my dad was crying one day, and I was over at the house. And I said, "Dad, what's the matter?" And my dad said, "Son, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for how I treated you. I'm sorry for everything I ever said, everything I ever done. I am so sorry." And boy, a flood of emotions come over me. I could have said what the flesh was wanting to say. But all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, "I have forgiven you of your sins. You forgive your dad." And I remember wrapping my arms around my dad as he sat in his chair crying, and I hugged him. And I said, "Dad, I love you, and I forgive you." I had the same conversation with my mom a few years ago because my mom wasn't maybe the best either. And then I found out what their lives were like growing up. And it was terrible. But that's not what I concentrated on. I concentrated on the power of the gospel. Jesus said, "Forgive. If we forgive, He'll forgive us." But even though I miss my dad, when I have those moments where that void is there, where I wish I could talk to Him, you know what I do? I go to the Heavenly Father, and I say, "Heavenly Father, I need Your touch today, Lord. I've got a little loneliness, or I'm feeling a little bit of despair. I have feelings and emotions. I go through things, but I don't proclaim them dominant in my life. What I claim dominant in my life is the love and the power of Jesus Christ, the One who saved me, the One who redeemed me, the One who forgave me of all my sins." What a glorious day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Yesterday, as I stood in that cemetery, Brother Ivan Ryan said, "When I drive through this cemetery," he said, "I see names of people that I knew, that I used to talk to, and now I see their name on the tombstone and they've passed. And I can't see them anymore." He said, "I know they're in heaven." And he said, "That brings me a lot of joy and comfort." And I said, "Hallelujah. Hallelujah." And as I looked around the cemetery yesterday as he was preaching, I looked at names from people who were basically either a mentor or in some way they were an example of their Christian life. And I saw their name and I saw the year that they passed away, and a flood of memories came over me. And all I can say today is thank you, Lord. Thank you for their commitment. Thank you, Lord, that they were never ashamed. I am so thankful for all the ones who ever told me about Jesus. Remember, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Are you here today? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you were to die right now, do you know whether or not you would be allowed into heaven? Do you know whether or not your name is in that Lamb's Book of Life? If you're not certain, there's an altar here. And Jesus is waiting with open arms. He wants to come in your heart and life and make everything new. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you peace. And you're not going to find it in the world. I could go to Laura and Sarah's store and I could buy fruit. And I could eat to my heart's desire. Boy, I have to do that sometime. I could eat to my heart's desire and I'll be satisfied in the physical. But in the spiritual, I'll never have true satisfaction until I give it all to Jesus and let it go. Have you let it go?